Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the.
We'll be right back.
And welcome to Terrify Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kevin, and alongside of me is Jody Parks. How are you doing?
Awesome. Well, you know what? Actually, I'm kind of in some pain, and I got drugs from the doctor yesterday, like just out of nowhere. My arms started killing me. And I had all this work I had to do. I was, like, putting together footage and going through some stuff. And, I sucked it up for about 6 hours, and I couldn't take it anymore. I went to the emergency room because I was like, Jesus Christ, am I going to have a heart attack? And I found out I've been going to a chiropractor for, like, a year from all the driving I'm doing, you know, and, like, sitting in the car for so long and my back's going out. So I've been going to a chiropractor for like a year. And, the doctor said I had a pinched nerve in my neck. And I had just gone to the chiropractor like a couple days before. And they said, yeah, you need to stop going to the chiropractor. And because it's just, I guess, a quick fix. And I need to go to a regular doctor and have it looked at, and then just like go to like physical therapy, like maybe for a little bit, like and massage therapy, and find out what exercises I can be doing to strengthen exactly where it's going out, you know, and just strengthen up my back. So, you know, here I am. I'm getting freaking old, Kevin. It's setting in, you know, it's like you hit 40 and shit hits the fan. I'm falling apart. How you doing?
I'm all right.
That did not sound convincing.
Well, just a lot of stuff going on. Mom fell last week and shattered her elbow, and they had to rebuild her elbow, and she broke two bones too.
Well,
and make sure she's okay, and make sure my dad's okay.
Walk, you know? Huh? And then what?
Do what? What'd you say?
Then what happened? I said at least it wasn't like her leg, and she can't like walk. You know what I mean? Like I know it's painful, and she's probably
She can't really do anything, and she watches out for my dad and makes sure that, because he has a lot of health problems, and so I have to make sure they're both okay right now, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. You know, both of my parents are they're very healthy. I have, obviously, two families. My parents divorced, so I have a stepdad and a stepmother, and but they're all very healthy, and so I'm kind of blessed in that way, you know. Now, what's wrong with your daddy?
He has a lot of health problems,
today?
You know, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart, so.
Well, and what happened today?
I don't want to talk about it on air.
Okay. Well, do I need to kick somebody's ass? Would you like that?
Huh?
Would you like that?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, can we do it for charity?
Sure.
Okay.
Whatever you would like.
Perfect. Well, we have a freaking crazy guest coming on tonight. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Like, I was thinking about him all day. Like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
What is going to happen? What is going to be said?
I don't know. Between the two of you, there's no talent. I just hope I can sit back and laugh.
Well, you better be a part of it. Jeez. Let's sit back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So have you been to, did you do anything over the weekend? Oh, you were probably with your dad and your mom?
No, I was pretty much at the hospital all weekend.
That sucks.
That was my weekend.
Never good.
What'd you do?
Dude, I'm a loser. I, like, never go out, you know? I don't like people, so...
Yeah.
I did nothing. I think I went out Sunday night, and I had a few drinks and got a little tipsy. And I had a really good dinner. And, but, yeah, I didn't go out until Sunday night. You know, I'm a mom. I like to be with my kids. That's where I'm happy. You know, I don't like hanging out in bars and stuff. Not my thing.
Do what?
Going to bars is just not my thing, you know? Like, I did that so much in my 20s and 30s. It's like, shoot. It don't matter. I got all my partying out.
Yeah, I hear you on that. We're getting old.
Yeah.
And next Tuesday is the 1 year anniversary of this show and the whole network. So we're gonna have everybody on from the network, just acting crazy. So should be interesting.
Right. Awesome. Yeah, I think it's gonna get a little nutty, but I have no problem with that. I want some helicopter. I really wish we could do a Skype one so that I could see Justin do the helicopter. You could do glowing stuff on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll take a picture put it online for us.
I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
But our guest tonight is, I never say his name last name right. How do you say his last name?
Grimwald?
Grimwald. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
tonight we have Scott Grimwald. A little bit about him. He's been investigating paranormal for over a decade. He appears at numerous events throughout the country and appears on the Travel Channel's Paranormal Paparazzi. He is involved in an event in California called ScoopCon. With his comic antics, Scott always finds a way to make people laugh. He sometimes investigates in different ways, including in the nude. And if you've ever seen the shirt floating around Parahor, well, Scott was a part of that.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a chat about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there should be awards. Now, that would be hilarious. Could you imagine if he created a page for Parahors? That shit would get crazy, Kevin. And people would go and look at it. People would go and look at it just to see the madness. People would get their popcorn and be like, oh, my God. You know? I think you should do an award thing. Yeah, with categories, too. But he was also on Paranormal Paparazzi.
He was on Paranormal Talent, too, wasn't he?
Yes, and he was, you know, I never saw his episode on Paranormal Challenge, but I heard that he was running around with pantyhose on his head or just going crazy, and so that doesn't surprise me. And then when he was on Paranormal Challenge, he did an episode where him and another man got naked and investigated. So they were the naked paranormal investigators, and I think that's great. I would love to do it with them. I would do it with them. Maybe with some panties on that light up. I would go topless. Totally. Give a shit. So I heard a good rumor about me. Do you want to hear it? The latest? You know, because there's always a rumor that comes through. So I heard that I slept with Zach Bagans to win Paranormal Challenge. That was number one. And then I heard that my boob from Howard Stern is floating around inbox amongst men in the paranormal field.
Mm.
How about that?
That's crazy.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
But I guess I want to see the goods. They should have watched the episode. I mean, and they're like, oh, my God, Jody, your boobs are on, you know, your boobs. And I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, was I not there? Did I not whip my own tits out? You know what I mean? And, like, it's a surprise to me? Seriously? I don't care. Tits are tits. You know what I mean? Like, I would be more devastated if, like, a video was floating around of me doing something nasty, you know? But that's why I don't do that stuff. And, like, oh, that would bother me. So that's disgusting to think about.
I believe our guest is on hold.
Perfect. We can start talking madness.
Scott, are you there?
Hello. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I turned into the show, and first thing I heard is my tits are floating out there somewhere, and I went, I've got to be in the right place.
Yep. So I heard a rumor last week. I sent it to you because I thought you would get a kick out of it because you were on Paranormal Challenge with me. So, yeah, I heard that I slept with Zach to win Paranormal Challenge. So that's the first rumor.
Oh, my God. Me too.
I know. I don't even remember it, but I hope it was good.
That's why I lost. I wasn't good. I mean, I wasn't up to the expectations that everybody thought. So, I mean, yeah, you know, your EVPs are okay, but you sure don't screw very well. So, yeah. My life story, Jody. My life story. It's out there.
Bad place to be, huh? I guess
well,
I was
you know,
better, huh, Scott?
Well, yeah. You know, it's weird because I did porn and did like, I was in the porn industry for a while during the 80s. And back then it was like, oh, my God, my mom can't find out. Nobody can know that I'm doing this. It changed my name. I did all that, and I made a couple bucks. And I really liked it. But I started doing too many drugs and stuff. And I had to get away from it for my own safety. Well, now it's like I want everybody to know. It's like now in this year, and it, you know, it's like he's an investigator. And he's done porn? That's a win-win.
Right? You know, if I ever did porn and everybody knew about it, do you know how awful they would make my life?
You know what? I think on the contrary, young lady. You're from the Midwest. You're a sweet girl, and I love you dearly. You wear your emotions on your sleeve. There's a lot of people out there, when they make it to this level that's way beyond me and or I'll ever get to, but let's say Miley Cyrus, whatever, Paris Hilton level, right? This happens, but they never respond to it. So if they never respond to it, it'll just kind of go the way. But you're so sweet, and it affects you so much that, you know, sometimes you may want to just close your eyes and turn the other direction and just let people be stupid.
Well, you know, that's why I always, you know, I actually just deleted my Facebook because I am going on vacation. You know, I look at it like, you know, I've worked really hard. I'm in a good place right now. I have a lot of great things in my future. And I really want to enjoy the process and all the good things that are coming into my life. So I'm just going to take a vacation, and I'm going to be with my kids for the summer, and I'm not going to get, you know, let that stuff get to me.
You know, and it does,
really,
Jody. I see you.
What?
But You know, you do. I see it affect you, and we have a personal relationship outside of TV and all that stuff. You and I, and I'm gonna pull your covers here in front of everybody, and I say, you know, you're just a very nice lady, and for people to do what they do to you, it's cruel and it's mean, and it's because you are a very nice lady. You're very attractive. You've got a great rack, so you are the main target. Me, I have slept with everybody from Morgan Fairchild to homeless people. But I don't, you know, me, it's like they expect it from me. You know, my wife is like, oh, my God, who are you fucking now? But I don't. The thing about it is,
I love it.
Oh, my wife is like, oh, my God, did you wear anything on Paranormal Paparazzi? Did they cover you up? Of course not, honey. So it was like, I'm out there, and I'm a big target, but when people are like, well, he doesn't care that I'm saying, you know, he had a homosexual relationship with, you know, Jason Gowan or whoever, Chris Fleming.
In a lot of ways, you and I are alike like that, Scott, you know, where, you know, I like the pair whore things. You know, everybody calls me a whore, even though I have literally never even kissed anyone in the paranormal field, but I have heard rumors about me sleeping with men that I've never even touched. So,
is there any about us, you and me? I don't think there is any about you and me. Well, not yet, right? That'll be the next one.
We're definitely getting naked together. I mean, that time is coming, whether you know it or not. It's on its way, okay?
Okay, Jody, let's put that in perspective. You and I, let's say we do a TV show called The Naked Investigators, okay? But the premise is we go into a place that we've never been before, hence The Naked Investigator. Yes, we go in there nude and we do it. People would never say that we're sleeping together. They wouldn't. It would be like so obvious out there in front of them. I go, God, to see each other naked. It's like being with your sister at 5 years old taking a bath together. There's nothing to elaborate. They're like, we saw Scott naked. Yeah, you and a million other people.
Yeah,
hopefully a million.
Yeah, I'll be asking you to do the helicopter for me, right? Like, you know, we got to put some, like, we got to get something to put on your pee-pee that glows in the dark. I told Richard Contreras that I'd really like him to make me like a bra, and like if a ghost gets near me and it gets cold, a nipple pops out. You know, my nipples pop out and they turn blue, like a light blue. Like, it's cold in here. So there's a cold
spot. Now, wait a minute. I don't think he needs to make you anything. Don't you already have that?
Well, yeah, but I guess we could put some glow in the dark nipples on me.
You know how many people are masturbating to your show right now? Well, one, I know. Let's say, you know, and then we put it on whatever channel, Discovery Channel, right? That's really way out there. If you're like, Naked Investigators are on the History Channel? My. So, and you know what, people, it's just weird enough for people to go, but we need a really big fat guy. So you got to have a big, large man, naked man, because people want to tune it in to go, oh, God, wait, that's me. All right, let's say a very large psychic chick. Like, we need a really heavy psychic woman. I mean, really heavy. Because the more heavy you are, the more psychic they are, if you haven't noticed. I know some heavy psychic, and I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I mean, I know a full-blown 6'10 psychic we could use. And then everybody's like, oh, my God, the big fat psychic's on there. There's something.
Are they going to come on naked, too?
Everybody has to be naked. And we'll get a little Flavor Flav looking guy. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you gotta have a naked Flavor Flav.
You want to hear one of my ideas that I have that I've always thought would just, like, sell, like, hotcakes, okay?
Okay.
And you being in the porn industry, you actually might have connections for this. And you could make a dream come true of mine, okay? I love porn. Fuck yeah, I do. Okay. I totally watch porn. I like to get fucked while the man is watching porn. It turns me on, you know. It's like, fuck yeah, you know. They get a little bit harder. They get a little bit more excited. So it's like, go ahead, man. Have at it. So I don't have a problem with porn, but I would never personally want to be in it. Okay. That's just not my thing. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable being videotaped doing that, because that's an intimate thing for me. But I would really like you know, to be in one where, okay, so the movie would be called Paracornal Activity, okay?
Ooh.
And basically, the theme is, so the porn stars are the ghosts. And then the ghost hunters go in, and they're doing EVP sessions, and, like, they're doing their thing, and they're picking up stuff, but they're acting like they don't hear it. But then, like, all of a sudden, their millimeters are going off, and they're, like, kind of buying them, but they don't, you know, they don't see it. And then they go in to review their evidence, and they're, like, blown away that they got, like, oh, my God, we got, like, they sound like they're having sex. And, like, oh, my God, he said fucking murder, right? And we've got an EVP, right? Would that not be fucking awesome?
I would totally show him a sign of my penis. No, that is actually, that.
You would sign with
actually,
your penis?
I would show him a sign with my penis. That's okay, let's say, and then they go back and they review the evidence and they masturbate to it and whatever, and that's the closing.
Right.
Okay.
But, or they pick it up on the camera and they didn't see it, but they picked it up on the camera. So they're reviewing that, and then all of a sudden they're like, what the heck, you know? It's like they're having sex. How did we get this? And then, like, they could turn their evidence into the client later on. Like, this is what I picked up. So, like, when you go in, it's like a case, and they're like, yeah, we're hearing, like, bed banging at night in this room, and, you know, we hear moaning and groaning, and, you know, we just, people, like, touching us while we're, you know, sleeping, and we think we have an incubus or a succubus. Well, so it could be like an incubus and succubus situation. Dude, I think
incubus.
Do you know any producers that do porn?
I think that there could be a franchise of these. It could be like the first one, you know, Paraporno Activity. The second one, The Revealing instead of The Reveal. I mean, there could be there's all so many play on words here that, you know, ghost comers. I mean, there's like, it's endless. You're an idea girl. You should be scared and just write this shit down.
Well, you know what? I just need people to do it for me. Like, I'll tell you, you go and, like, sell the deal for us. Let's do it. I'll be there next to you. You know?
Then I'll send you the royalties.
Will come too. Kevin, will you not come and, like, act like you're a paranormal investigator? But, like, you know, we dress normal. But hey, Scott, if you want to be like a guy, a ghost, then you can go that route, and we'll investigate you. So you can get a blowjob or something. You know what I mean?
I think that would work for me. That would totally work for me.
And you know what? I have a friend that, okay, this is a weird situation. I flew to California about 2 years ago, and the night that I got picked up from the airport, go back to the where I'm staying, and this guy is like, hey, get dressed. I need to take you and show you off at this party. I was like, what, dude? I just got here. Like, I don't want to do anything. I've been flying for like 8 hours. I feel like a butthole. He's like, just put on a hot dress and come on. And so, you know, I put on a dress and, you know, we go up into like Hollywood Hills and we go to this beautiful mansion. And first person I meet is like a pimp. And he's like, hey, baby, you know, oh, take my business card. He's like, I'm a party planner. And I was like, a party planner? Like, what kind of stuff? He's like, well, you tell me what you need, and I just make it happen. And I was like, what you mean? I'm like, are you a pimp, bitch? And he was like, I just make things happen. Whatever you want, I can find a guy to make it happen. And I was like, oh, okay. So he gives me his card, okay? So I meet him. Then, you know, there's, like, all these people there, so I'm meeting people, and then I go outside, and you can go alongside, and there's, like, all these rooms, and I'm walking down, and there's these sliding doors open, and I walk past, and there's this chick sitting on the couch, and she's got, like, a 3-foot bong, and I was like, hey, and she was like, hey, you want to come on in? I was like, uh-huh, so I sit down, and, you know, I proceed to smoke pot. And, you know, get to know her, and she's, like, telling me how she's a porn star, and she's Amanda Blow. And her thing is she likes to blow dick. And so, you know, she was awesome. She was totally cool. And she ended up, like, getting me a picture and, like, signing it for me. So I got to come home, like, you know, leave that party, and I'm like, I met a pimp and a porn star tonight. That is awesome. Like, and I hung out with the porn star. You know what I mean?
Welcome to California.
But, she would be great to give you a blowjob. She would be down for this project. And she could be part of it.
You know, the thing is, it's the budget. And you've come into L.A., you've must have heard that a couple times. I've actually, that's the first thing that comes out of people's mouths is, what's in your budget? So, and it seems kind of rude to some people, but it's really, let's just cut to the chase, what's in the budget, and then we'll work from there. And it, but I was interviewing street performers one time, and I go to this guy who's juggling, and he's, you know, he's homeless, I guess. And I said, hey, would you mind doing an interview? He said, what's in your budget? And I go, well, $50. He goes, okay. Then I met with Larry Melrose Green, I think his name is, Larry Melrose Green. And I said, dude, let's do this thing. He goes, well, what's in your budget? I said, okay. Then we worked with Marilyn Manson. He said, well, what's in your budget? Then I kind of understood that that's the first thing that comes out of the mouth, because it's just cut and chase. Are we serious or not? So,
right.
But with porn stars, it's such a I mean, you can get someone to work for free, and then the next day it's $1,500, and then the day after that it's $8,000, and the next day it's for free again. So it's really spent with the porn industry, and they actually have agents. You can get really beautiful people for good prices, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Mena Brooks, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are in the industry that their kids are in college. I mean, they live in beautiful homes. It's just what they do for a living. So for the price you pay for one person, they want this much money, you can get like five beautiful people for the same price. So I'll shop for you. How about that? I know I'll do the shopping.
All right, you do that. And if you do that, man, we'll go and we'll go do this, and we'll probably be like millionaires from this shit. You know that?
Well, here's the thing. And our reputation, people, okay, so many people in the industry, in the paranormal, let's just say the paranormal, let's say television industry, they really worry about the rep. They won't say fuck on Twitter.
Right.
They won't do certain things. They won't follow you on
That's
Twitter
why they
if
hate
you say
me.
Fuck.
I'm a joke.
And they block you and stuff like that because they're really worried about it because that's the bread and butter. The thing about Jody Parks and Scott Grunewald are, we don't give a shit. So if you don't want to fucking follow me, then you're lost. I mean, the reason we promoted The Stew for so long is people would tune in just to go, oh, my God, I hate this guy.
Right?
And
me too.
That.
I fucking hate her. She's a provoker. She's a pusher. And it's like, but I'm getting the ghost box to say, the sports, the blowjob. You know what I mean? Excuse me, what other bitch has gotten that?
Yeah, no kidding. No. That's a pretty
Nobody
good
else
That's
is willing to go there. Nobody else is willing to go there. And, you know, I'm not out to have people like me. You know, when I go to these locations, my mind's not thinking, okay, am I going to worry about what I'm about to do? No. And, you know, when I tell my mom I'm about to do something, the first thing she says is, she goes, are you going to flash your boobs? And I say, Mom, even if I do, what does it matter? And she's just like, well, you know you don't have to do that. And I go, but you know what, Mom? I'm batshit crazy. And sometimes those girls just might pop out. You know what I mean? That's just who I am. Like, accept it, woman.
Hold on one second. I'm being interrupted.
Coming from a woman who's gotten, like, shit-faced and taken two guys back to her freaking hotel room, you know, when she was single and, you know, doing her thing. So it's like, whatever. You've been batshit crazy. She taught me that, you know?
You know, it's all an interpretation. I'll run around in my Hello Kitty clothes. I'll run around with my penis pump, you know, putting bruises on people's arms. I do all this stuff, and I use a gigantic skin flute dildo for my presentations. And it's what I do, and people are like, God, I can't stand this guy. And then I'll be sitting there having my dinner at a restaurant, hopefully as far away as I can, and I'll have a couple walk up, and they'll talk to me. And I'll invite them for dinner, and I'll buy them dinner, and they'll go, oh my God, you're nothing like you are over there. You're so mellow, and you know, and this kind
yeah.
of stuff. And I go, yeah, I'm on. And when I'm on, it's hard for me to get off. I actually have to go away from the event or the set or whatever and calm myself down because I'm going at a high level up here. When we did when we were doing Paranormal Challenge, you know, our equipment all died at the second half of the when we changed sides or whatever we did, and I'm like, we've got to do something here. So, you know, I took a poop on the floor, I put pantyhose on my head. I mean, I did a lot of stuff that we're like, this is just. I met with our group. I go, dude, well, let's just lose this thing. I mean, we're not going to win. So let's just be just have fun. And so we did. We had a blast, and it was a good time. But afterwards, I had to sit. Well, you did the show, so you know you have to come right back in a couple hours after you sleep for a couple hours and come back and start filming again.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep. I'm just so wound up that when we came back for the reveal, I think that's what it was the next day, the last day, whatever it was,
yeah.
I was just so wound up. And it get like that. When I finish this show tonight, and I can't even put food in my stomach because I'm on, I'm up, I've got so much adrenaline going through my body.
I have a piece of that I made like 40 minutes ago, and I can't eat it either. Like looking at it, I'm just like, yeah, no. I'm over here. Yeah, I know what you're saying. You and I have had we've had discussions about how much like you and I are so much alike that
I don't know.
We just don't worry. And we're not doing it to hurt like our field. Or be disrespectful to others. We're just being who we are,
and that's really what it's about, Dodie. I will never go publicly and say this person is doing something wrong. If they attack my family, that's different. But if this person's doing something, or this person's doing this, or that, I'm not gonna be catty like that because everybody's got their gig. You know, I make fun of people that are demonologists and stuff. I do that, but that's not just. Specifically saying, hey, James, what's this face? Is it fake? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ruin anybody else's gig. I'm not going to. And I have a really good eye to see these people that work really well with me. Well, and you're one of them. Mesh, Jason Gowan's another one. I mean, there's a lot of people that I really mesh. Tabitha Stevens, she's a porn star. Rachel Fine, Richie Wilson. I mean, there's a lot of people. There's this circle of people that are my fantasy league, so to speak, that I love to work with because you trust them. And when people talk and smack about them, it's like, I don't care what they say. I really don't care what people say about Rachel Fine's nose, let's say, or her boobs or whatever, you know, from Howard TV. I love this woman dearly. And it doesn't matter what people say about Jody Parks. Because I know Jody Parks. I know this, and I feel Jody Parks. And she has a certain kind of blood in her body that is different. So when you walk into a room full of investigators and you say, come on, Scott, let's go in here, and we take our clothes off, and we do an investigation with two random people that are just like paid $100 for an investigation, going, what are we doing, honey? We're getting evidence. People are going to go, oh, my God, they totally had an orgy. They ruined it for everybody. Did we really?
And she was blowing up.
Yeah. Did we really ruin it? Did we?
She's such a slut. She fucks her way to the top. I've heard that shit. Well, who's gotten it? Who can come forward and say anything about my vagina or anything about the way that I have sex, or nobody can come forward with any details or anything other than my tips from Howard Stern. So, stop, you know, it's like, stop calling me a fucking slut. You know what I mean?
You know what?
Stop calling me a fucking whore. Stop that shit, because the real fucking whores, oh my God, like, they cause me problems too, because they don't want me near other people in the paranormal field that are men because they want to bang them. You know what I mean? So they stir up problems for me, or paravore girls. And that's why I did that paravirgin shirt, and I showed up with no bra and on hard nipples. I was chilly. And and you know what? I had 100 people drop Paranormal Hot Squad that weekend. I was cracking up. I was like, I want you to drop. because now you're going to watch me from afar, and now I just weeded out who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mhm. It's like when you say a bad word, not a bad word, let's say nothing racist, nothing off color, but let's say you say something to somebody just to see what kind of reaction they get. We kind of set ourselves up that way. That's saying something. But when you are who you are, you can't help who you are. So when you walk into a room and someone judges you because of what you look like, shame on them. I mean, what kind of investigator are you? What kind of closed-minded motherfucker are you that you don't realize that this is the most eclectic, different, strange, unusual group of people in the entire world? I mean, we're all so odd in the paranormal, and we all have our own ways of doing things. Unfortunately, a lot of people watch the TV shows, and they watch Facebook, and they get on my ghost story, and they get upset that, you know, they weren't perceived a certain way. And you've done TV, and you know the same as me. Whatever we do in front of that camera, get ready for it not to look anything like you thought it was going to look, and be okay with that. You know,
right.
A lot of people will go on my ghost story, and then they retire from the, because my ghost story said, oh, they were doing something that their group just doesn't do, and maybe chase orbs or whatever it was.
Right.
For that person.
I know what you're saying.
And you see it, and there's a certain person we both know that this happened to, and a couple people. So they won't do, they asked me to do it one time. I'm like, yeah, you don't want me. Believe me. You do not want
me
on
your
show.
But you did do it. Hold on. But you did do it. And,
I didn't do my ghost story.
You had a woman tell her ghost story.
Oh,
and it
right,
was really
right.
interesting. It was very interesting, and I really liked it.
Was that the dick-shaking ghost story? It might have been the dick-shaking ghost.
That was the one where behind that curtain there was this penis that kept haunting
right.
this
yeah.
woman. Yeah.
It was the dick-shaking ghost. And so what we did is I met Christopher Saunders and a couple other people on my ghost story. So we put my wife in this, like, Chicano kind of outfit, and she does this one-take, 8-minute story about the dick-shaking ghost. And there's a dick, and it's shaking at her, and it flies away, and it comes back, and whatever. It was really cool. Green, some of our best green screen we've ever done.
It was a great story, though. I mean, she was very ghetto.
She's very ghetto.
Whoa! Man, I was impressed with her. Like, she had her story down.
She's the best actress.
And that shit was so great.
She's the best actress I think I've ever. Now, I've worked with lots of biggies, and I've worked with lots of other people and extras, and I've worked with a lot of people in the industry, and this woman, Linda Gruenwald, is the most amazing, strange woman that I've ever met. I mean, she comes out of nowhere. She does one take of everything. We've never had to say, okay, start over. Never had to. She can do it totally unscripted and scripted. And, I mean, on a daily basis, this woman freaks me out. So she'll come down the hall, you know, like The Exorcist or something. You go, hey, how do I look, honey? I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
You know, after I saw that, I called up Laura, and I was like, oh, my God, is that Scott's wife? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, dude, that is so awesome, you know, like that you guys sit around and, like, you just – create, like, funniness. And, you know, Laura said the sweetest thing about you and your wife, that you love your wife with, like, your whole heart, and that she is your heart and soul. And and that's
absolutely.
Just, you know, you're very, very lucky to have that, Scott. You know?
I truly am. 30 years.
Yeah.
30 years we've been going through this. This wonderful adventure. But I'm actually standing in the studio right now. We always have a studio running in our house. There's always cameras ready to bounce on a switch. There's always audio equipment and mixer boards ready to click. And in two seconds, we could air live. Always. And when she gets an itch, or I do, or the guys do, okay, let's do a show. And boom, we're on the air, and we're doing stuff. And we get invited to all these beautiful places like Preston Castle and the prisons and all these wonderful places. And they go, we get there, and we got our equipment, and we're ready to investigate. And they go, hey, can we take you aside for a minute? I go, yeah, sure. And me and Linda walk over to the side, and they go, hey, can you guys, like, run around naked or something for us? And I'm like, well, we're here to, you know, investigate. Hey, can you be like those, the paranormal Estado guys? And I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll do it. So, and then we do it, you know, we do a stand-up or whatever. But, and that's what our house is kind of like. We were, Lynn and I, when we were little kids, we were running around with towels around our necks. We had, you know, as superheroes. And I had hanging from a tree, flying with a little video camera.
When did you meet her? When did you meet her?
We were in fifth grade, I think.
Fifth grade?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, we've been together all our lives. There's nobody else in our lives. We have not been with anybody else. We've never, and that's the weird thing about it. Because, well, people look at me and they go, okay, this guy's got to fuck around. I mean, he does. He has to. He is such a player, you know, and all that. And Lynn is like, whatever. They think what they want to think. You know, I come home every day. I wake up. My clothes are laid out for me for work. She makes me a little bag lunch. I go and I inspect fire alarms and I put in video cameras and I do my stuff during the day. And I come home and I rub her back and we eat dinner and we'll go swimming in the pool and then we fight over the TV for the rest of the night. And that's what we've been doing forever. I mean, decades. We've been doing the same thing every night.
Right.
And every night it's the same awesome adventure with my wife. And the thing about it, and when we fight, it's like I have the garage out here, so I'll come out in the garage, and I'll like I'll be mad, and I come out here and I'm because I always lose. I never want to fight, so I'll always come out here and she'll lock the door from the other side. I can't even get out. So I'm like, honey, I'm texting her, I'm calling her, and she's like not answering. Now she's locked me in the studio. I can't get out. I can't get out of here. I slept in here. I slept on the floor in here because I can't get out. So I tried to. Okay, so I fixed the lock so it has a key on both sides. I'm like, great. And the other night, you know, about a year ago, I guess, we get into it about something. And she locked it. Like, oh, go ahead, lock me in here. She took my key. But I still can't. So, yeah.
Well, if you were smart, Scott, you would get a couch with some blankies and a little, like, you know, a pillow and, like, have your setup for those nights, you know? Think ahead, dude. Right?
Well, I do, and there's cat hair all over them. Because I have to share the studio with a 50-pound cat.
Buy yourself a little bench that you can slide it into, you know, so you keep it clean.
And maybe even
bottled water and like some toothpaste and a spitting cup, like be prepared to maybe a snack.
Yeah, I should do that. Actually, I have my porn out here, so I got my porn. But here's the thing: I'm like, okay, I'm doors locked, nobody's around, everybody's asleep. I flip on a little bit of porn, so I'll turn on the porn. About 2 minutes, who am I trying to get? I got it now those nights. About 10 seconds into the whack, the door opens. I'm free. I can get out. I've been in here for, like, a month now? But it's like, can you shut the door? I'm like right in the middle. Yeah. But we do have a healthy sex life. We have sex on Saturdays and Wednesdays. We have forever. When I'm on the road, we do Skype. So it's like Wednesdays and Saturdays. No matter, even if that's a night that we're not getting along, it's almost like, just get in here and do it. So then we do it, and then afterwards we're making pancakes and giggling, and the kids are like, oh, God, please, come on, parents. And, you know, we have a very, very, very active and very healthy sex life for, you know, two 80-year-olds.
Yeah. You got to get laid, you know what I mean? Like, that's exercise. That keeps you healthy.
It does. Her doctor, Dr. Makanazuki, he told her, she says, is it okay if my husband, you know, jacks off every day? He says, that's actually very good for him. It's very good for the prostate. It's very good for the testicles. It's very good for him. So she comes home. She goes, honey, he said it was like, I love this dude. Where is he? I'm calling him. Dude, yo, thanks a lot, bro. Because that was awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you for the green light. You're very welcome, Mr. Grimal.
So when you're doing it in the act, all you have to do is say, well, honey, the doctor said it's important for me to do this.
Doctor's orders.
And, you know, if you were donating or, you know, doing some sperm in a cup at the doctor's, you would have some stuff to look at, correct me if I'm wrong, and that would be medically okay. to arouse
we
you.
We did that once. About 15 years ago, we went to a clinic. We donated. And I donated. And it wasn't for a certain person. It was for a couple bucks. Really, it was all it was. So I went down there, and they put on there whatever I am. And so, I don't know, it was like 5 years ago, I get this call from somebody that said they wanted to do a show about your sperm becoming a child and you meeting the child. I'm like, fuck no. I mean, come on. I mean, but then after I hung up, I'm like, there's two things. I regret nothing in life. One of them is not going on Family Feud when they invited me. And the other one is that. It's like, God, I wonder what this kid's probably going around showing his dick to all the teachers, because that's what I did. So I'm like, you know, it's probably like a husband and wife therapist that have this kid that's so fucking out of control, crazy, that they're like, you know, his paperwork didn't say he was this. And then I know they found me on Facebook. They have my name, so they must look at me on Facebook, and they're like, oh, God. He's going to be on TV? Oh, my God, no.
He's a naked ghost hunter? Oh, God.
He's a naked Baptist ghost hunter priest? Yeah. So I got ordained because it was him, me and a friend of mine, Andy Kopic, and Jesse James, this motorcycle builder guy, got ordained. Well, Jesse and Andy got ordained, and I wanted to do it too, so I got ordained too. And it was like this. The cool thing about being ordained is the free parking. That I can park anywhere I want, so that's cool. I don't have to pay for meters anymore. So really, it was an investment. I've married a couple of people, but the weirdest thing that's happened from being ordained is when the old man across the street passed away, and a cop knocks on my door, and he says, this is a true story, he says, Scott, hey, you know, Mr. Brown across the street passed away this morning, or a little while ago, and I go, oh, God. Now, the neighbors know, they've seen my placard, I guess, and they say, hey, would you mind coming over and giving them the last rites? And I go, okay, yeah, let me grab my shit, you know, and then I go in there, and I go, honey, I'm going to go, she says, you can't fucking do that. I go, she's like, black belt and Catholic, right? You can't fucking do that. Don't do that. You're just a fake priest. You can't do that. I go, honey, I can do this. So finally, I'm looking at myself in the mirror going, you're a douche. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, I did it anyways. And I don't know where he went. He may be wandering around Walmart. But, you know, it's like I felt it my duty. So I went over there and I gave the man the last rites. I didn't know. I mumbled because I don't know any of the real prayers.
Right. Wow.
But, yeah, it kind of sucks. And still,
so,
you know, Mrs. Brown
was
still.
He was dying or he was dead?
He was dead. So I went over there, and he's laying there dead, and I got down on my knee, and I put a cross next to him, and I put some holy water on his forehead, and then I mumbled some stuff, and to myself, I'm like, oh, God, I don't know if I'm doing this right, Jesus, but, you know, and I've never done anything right in my life, so can you help me out here and just welcome him to heaven, liberty and justice for all? Well, you know, I'm brilliant. I walk away, and I'm like, God, right now I'm thinking about it is like, you know, I did that. And I think anybody can really do that. You know, he wasn't a Catholic. He was a Lutheran. I don't know. Probably something I shouldn't be sharing on. It's like, what a dick. But, no, I mean, and so, you know, it's nothing for my neighbors to see me run down the street at night with a nightgown on and a blonde wig videotaping myself. They know me, so. Yeah, it's just like, I know our new neighbors next door, they were like, Rex Williams from Destination Truth came over to the house and we filmed something called Psychic Piss versus the Terminator. And God bless her, by the way. And where the Terminator came back in time to kill the psychic that told John Connor in a tarot card reading that he was going to save the world. That's how the premise is. So he's got to come back and kill the psychic before the psychic gives John Connor the tarot card reading. That's the premise of the movie. And so we're outside, and we're shooting guns at each other and fighting and everything. And the real estate lady is showing the house, getting showed to this young couple. And we're on their front lawn fighting with guns. So with video cameras and all that kind of stuff, and they're just kind of looking at us. So they move in. They buy the house. They move in. And then I knock on their door in a dress. And I'm like, hey, we're going to be using the front lawn because we share a front lawn. We're going to, you know, chop somebody's head off in the front lawn. They're like, okay. So now they're good friends of ours. But for them to actually buy the house kind of blew us away. They're like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, we probably screwed up the sale for the real estate lady. And so they look like John and Kate from that TV show. So we did a show called Johnny Cape Plus Paranormal State, and where Johnny Cape adopted all the cast members from Paranormal State. And so they were, the next thing you know, we're shooting videos with him and stuff. So I got a great neighborhood.
Dude, you know what? Like, you and I are so much alike. You know, I bought a green screen, and I put it down in my basement, like, professional lights and stuff like that. And, like, on, you know, like, rainy days and stuff like that, I'll take my kids down there, and, like, we'll do stupid stuff, you know? And it's just so fun to do that, don't you think? Like, you and I are a lot alike in that way that, like, you know, you and your wife will do stupid videos.
Yep.
And you don't care what anybody thinks. You're cracking up at what you're doing, you know, and that's all that really matters.
On the unknown page tonight, I'm going to post a video. I don't know if I could post that my ghost story on your guys' page. Maybe I'll just send you a message and let you guys judge it.
Please do. I mean, it is hilarious. Like, here you, Kevin, you see this penis. Like, you see a sheet, and then you see this penis, like, shadow. And then all of a sudden you see a hand trying to catch it.
It's my penis. I don't know if you knew that.
I got that. It was freaking huge.
That's one good thing about running around naked. When you're not so bad down there, it's like, like when we did that thing with the Travel Channel where we interviewed the naked ghost hunters, and so the guy I got naked with, and he's like, not bad, you know, and I'm like, not bad. There was three girls in the group, and they're like, oh my God, they're really taking everything off, because they do it. That's what they do, but they didn't know they were going to do it really for television all the way. So you know what? The cameraman's naked, the producer's naked, our liaison to the place is everybody's naked. It's like everybody just felt like the urge to take all their clothes off, and it's kind of funny how that happens, you know. And I'm glad that they were able to use a good blur on me. Here's the thing: I was like, hey, can you give me a big long blur? You know, like a really long blur on the front. And they're like, no, we're just going to use the regular golf ball size blur. Oh, thank you. But yeah, they couldn't get the okay from the Ghostbusters people to put the logo there. But it was a good, you know, that was a good little run. We did 8 episodes of Paranormal Paparazzi. It was fun to do. I made a lot of great connections. I met so many cool people. I got to investigate the Bunny Ranch. That's like, nobody gets to hardly do that. So
I got invited to go there, and Room number two.
That's where Andy Kaufman's at.
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually thought, like, since I was invited to go, Amanda Blow works there, and she's very proud of working there. And so she actually is the one who contacted me and said, hey, Jody, you know, because I'm on Facebook and Twitter with her. And so, you know, she told me that she could get me in there. And I thought, you know what, do they have a stripper pole there?
I'm sure they do in the Velvet Room. Yeah, I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Like, I've never been a stripper, and got up on a pole one time. And let's just say I am the worst stripper in the freaking universe, okay? I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I look like a freaking moron, and I have so much respect for those women. Like, physically, that shit is funny. And so I thought, God, if, you know, being that I could go there, and they said, you know, come on, like, I would want to go and take some classes on, like, workout classes that teach you how to strip, you know, get on the pole. And I would totally, like, get a freaking crazy-ass outfit that I know would piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would love to go and just work that pole and try and get some spirits going, man.
it's such a loving, nice environment there. We walked in there too, as a gay couple, me and my producer, and because he's engaged, and I've never been to a place like that. So I was like, You know, I was, so I go, are we gay? He's okay, we'll be gay. So we go there, we're just hanging on each other and everything, and which made it worse because now it's like elevated. So we actually sat and had drinks with, well, I don't drink, but we sat around with the girls for a couple hours and we did some shooting. And then it got to girl dinner time. We had a great dinner. And then I had two girls. They were like $5,000 for 90 minutes, mm-hmm. I guess, is what they were. So I had them for like
$6,000?
Yes. And
how long?
For 90 minutes.
Wow.
90 minutes. So I got hung out with those two.
Business.
I was, you know, the Travel Channel, if the Travel Channel had to pay for that visit, it would have been $46,000 what we spent in women and liquor and all that. But it was all comped. It was all free. We stayed there. They have two suites in the back, so I slept in one of them. I woke up with this beautiful woman with a plate of fruit for me in the morning. I mean, it was an amazing place. But in the middle of the night, these two girls wake me up from my sleep, and they're like, hey, come with us. And they're in like little bathing suits. I go, what? They go, something's happening in room number two. So I wake up the producer. Well, he was wide awake. I go, let's go. So we went in there, and we actually videotaped an investigation of some really crazy shit going on in that room number two. Candy McCarthy was one of the girls that woke me up, and we became fast friends since then. That place, they said they really haven't had too many people investigate there, a couple. It really is, that's not what it's for, but they run it very clean, very well, very nice place. It was beautiful women. I mean, amazingly beautiful women are there, and they're all there. They're all like been in college, or they've all been in the Navy, or they've all been, they've got great stories with amazing kids and just good people. It was weird. They all lined up for us. You know, they all did the catacall, I think they called it. And they rang the bell. Everybody came up. We're standing there, and we're picking you. That's where you pick out who you want. And then you go in the back room, you book a party. And I'm using their terminology, but I really didn't know anything before I went there. So I picked the girl that sells T-shirts. And she goes, oh, I'm just the girl that sits there and sells T-shirts. Because she was like all the way on the end on the stool with the cash register. I go, ooh, I want her. She goes, oh, sir, I'm just the girl that sells the T-shirts up in front. I go, oh, well, that's kind of what I wanted. So me and Candy and David, my husband at the time, and this other girl went, and they made us big steaks and mashed potatoes, and we watched the movie The Jerk. I mean, I watched the movie The Jerk with two high-priced call girls sitting there watching, laughing our asses off, watching Steve Martin. And guys are coming. Now, watch. I try not to look at the clients because I don't know if I'm supposed to have eye contact with them or not, because it's really none of my business what they're doing. But I kind of peek at them as they come in there, and they're looking at us, and they're like, oh, those guys must be heavy hitters because we're just sitting there paying thousands of dollars to watch the movie The Jerk, which is a good movie, but I don't know if it's worth that much.
Right. Wow.
Hey,
yeah, I definitely really want to go there. That would be a great place for us to like do the naked stuff. Like, but yeah, I'm not gonna go completely naked. I'll wear panties. I asked Richard if he would make me up some panties that if a cold penis came near me, it would like light up or something. You know?
There's this thing. It's called the the big beige colored bandages that are like 4 inches by 4 inches, maybe they're a little bit bigger. You just put one of those down there, and then one over each breast or whatever. That's what they use on television, is these beige colored bandages, and they're not sticky in the middle, so you don't have to worry about it. But they have like adhesive around the side. You know what I'm talking about? The bandages. When you wear those from the side, it's like, oh my God, this woman is totally naked. Because you can't see it, you know. So,
right.
Hey, you know what? Guess what I got to do, guys?
What?
I got to go. I just got called in. I'm on call, you guys. Kevin, I love you, man. It's really great to be able to spend all this time with you, bro.
Thank you, man. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. And Joe, you call me tonight.
Okay, cool.
Okay. I love you guys. Yeah. Thank you for having me on your amazing show, and I hope I get invited back.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
All right. Take
you
care, guys.
Plug anything real quick?
Oh, yeah. StuCon, August 3rd in L.A. $5 to get in, 25 cents for the overnight investigation. Because that's funny. Um, we have www.scottgrunwald.com. Get your pair of horse shoes there. But if you go on MySpace, I mean, not MySpace, what fucking decade am I living in? If you go on Facebook and you message me on the side and say, can I just have a pair of horse shirt, you're probably going to get one for cheaper. You guys give money to the SPCA. Please help the SPCA people, even though you think that they capture animals. They are the amazing people that they are. And keep your eye out for a TV show called Alone, Ms. Muir, and, of course, The Naked Investigator. I love you guys.
Love you, too.
All right.
Take care. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. God, I love him. See, and can you imagine, like, that was us on air? Can you imagine us off air?
Wow.
We get, you know, we could get a lot dirtier than that, like with our thoughts. Scott and I think a lot alike. We just, and him and I have had these conversations about how he gets me, you know what I mean? He understands, like, that I'm just different and that it's okay, you know?
Right.
I'm as comfortable with who I am, and so is Scott. And a lot of people hide that, Kevin, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't do some of the shit that we do, right?
Right.
And
so
why
that's
wouldn't
okay.
you?
I'll laugh about it.
Right, but why wouldn't you? Like, what is stopping
right.
you? You know? What stops you from just behaving badly, I guess, or being open?
I don't know. I just do things a little bit different, you know, but that's what Scott said. We're all different. We all have our own ways of doing things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the way it is. You know?
Yeah.
And Matt, if you're listening, Mr. Matt from Full Spectrum Radio is in the chat room. Matt, if you'd like to call in and
Tell him to call in. Yeah.
Well,
we can chit chat. We can talk about some stuff, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Dude, that was so exciting. I really enjoyed having him on. I'm so glad he came on. What a great person. Like, I love people that are just for real. You know, they're just like, screw it. Like, this is who I am, and if you don't like it, like, whiz off, you know?
Right.
And then, like you
right.
said, people will meet us. They'll see us one way, but then when they meet us, they'll see that we're, like, really sweet people, you know, and we're not out to hurt anyone, you know? And I think that's so adorable that him and his wife have been together since they were in fifth grade. Now, that is impressive, Kevin. You don't hear about
that
in our generation.
Yeah, I know. I just wish I was in a better mood tonight, but, you know, it is what it is tonight.
Some bitch. With you.
What?
Come on.
Huh?
Just think about it a little bit. It'll be good for you. Somebody messing
no.
with you.
No.
Okay.
It's paranormal drama shit. And people out there that want to do as much as they can to ruin, you know, things that we do and try to make sure that they do as much shit talking and backstabbing as they can. So that's.
Well, whatever it is, I'm sure it will pass and. You know, I hope that, you know, it gets better for you because life is too short. And, you know, one thing that I've learned is that, you know, like people in our field, like they think this is all there is to life. You know what I mean? Like you're not allowed to be anything else. You're not allowed to do anything else. This is it. You know what I mean? So be a role model and follow these rules. And if you kind of go over that way or disagree, it's like I'm going to destroy you or I'm going to, you know, ruin you and try and hurt what it is that you're working on. And
right.
that is, you know, it's just, very evil and negative. And but then, you know, you come across, you find out who your real friends are, right?
Oh yeah, I've already found that out. Long story short, I lost 3 members 5 minutes before the show went on.
I'm very sorry.
So then, three of my team just quit. So
how many people do you have left?
5 or 4.
You know what? The universe is working its way to where it's supposed to be, and you don't need that big of a group anyways. You know? Because that's a lot more pressure on you, and let them go their way and don't worry about it. And focus on the people who are staying with you and staying loyal to you, and embrace that.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of people.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know if I can follow up that performance with the debauchery between Scott and Jody, but what the hell? I'll do my best. No.
So what did you think? Did I get too wild with them?
Oh, no. You know what? You were tamer than I thought you were going to be, actually. Because
really?
I know you and Scott have a reputation of working together in the past and all that kind of stuff. And
We've never worked together.
You know him, though. You know what I mean?
Yes. We connected. We bonded because we're both, like, dipshits. You know? Like, he'll every once in a while, he'll send me, like, a hilarious video that him and his wife do. And I'm just freaking rolling. I love it. I think it's so cute that, like, they do stupid shit together. You know? I wish I had a man that was, like, you know, wanted to do stupid shit with me. And that would be fun. But whatever.
You know, I'm actually surprised that Rosa didn't make an appearance tonight. When Scott was on the show with Brittany and I on that Monday, and then he's been on twice on Full Spectrum. Rosa always made an appearance, which is probably why she probably would have if he wasn't on call. But yeah,
right.
He was sitting there, and then you just hear in the back, "Oh man, I was down over here." And the Rosa character is fucking awesome,
right?
Yeah,
she's something else, and I can see why they've been running around with superhero capes since they were in fifth grade. Because when you find that person that you can like be that stupid with, you don't want to walk away from that, you know. That's that one that'll just be like, you know what, I love you, and you can be as stupid as you want, and I'm going to freaking love you, and I'm going to be stupid right next to you. So let's go get stupid, you know? Or let's fight over the controller later on after sex, you know? Or whatever, right?
That's honestly the way. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I think I have a caller, so I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. But no, that's always the way that I've been, and especially in relationships too. The serious times need the serious times, but you also need somebody who you can joke around and have fun with, and that compliments you. And you know, I have friends that are very straight laced, and I see just publicly, I don't see what happens, you know, behind closed doors, because who the hell knows? They could be doing dominatrix role playing and shit every night, but when they go out, it's suit and tie and very, very formal. But
right.
It's just no.
People
I mean,
get freaky. But they keep quiet about it. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, like, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? That's why I love people that are different. I'm more attracted to people that are off. And they're just, like, it's just so much more stimulating for me, you know what I mean? Like, it just keeps my brain going as, you know, it just different people stimulate me, that's all. I don't know. That is definitely different. What? Who do you
I got a caller. He wait a minute. Hang on. Well, yeah. Yeah, I have a caller on. He's the infamous Dr. Phil. So I'm gonna put him on.
Oh shit.
Dr. Phil, are you there?
I'm a drunk pimp.
Oh shit. Nice.
He's a drunk pimp. Do you have any advice for our guest that was on earlier, Scott? Do you have anything for him?
I want you to start having a gay relationship.
Really? What else?
I want you to start living as a gay woman.
A gay woman?
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
You're bright
eyed.
Well,
I already did that, didn't I? Like, I had a girlfriend on Facebook and everything, and I was taking pictures with her of me kissing her and posting it.
And let me just be honest with you. Nobody really cares. Fair enough?
Perfect.
Wow, Dr. Phil. Man.
How about when this is over, we go do a little coke?
We go do a little coke? Did you say coke?
Yeah.
I'm drinking a coke right now.
Dr. Phil, we can't do that.
That's a load of crap.
Load of crap.
Well, what do you do, man? Well,
you don't have the right to do that.
We don't have the what?
The right,
so
to
you don't
do
have
that.
The right to do that.
Yeah, we don't. It's illegal.
All right, Dr. Phil, I'm going to get you off air.
I'm a drunk pimp.
All right. Sorry about that. I had to bring Dr. Phil on. Now, I actually have another caller on queue, so let me actually check to see who this is. Y'all can continue.
Okay,
this is an actual caller, by the way.
Okay. Well, we haven't played with those guys in a while. Sometimes.
So wait, that wasn't actually Dr. Phil? What kind of shit
is
that?
No. Yeah, I know.
I was. You know what? I was taking his advice. I was going to have a homosexual relationship with Scott and become a gay woman.
Nice. Can I videotape this?
I have another caller. Jody's counterpart, Miss Megan.
Megan.
Hey guys.
Hey,
Megan.
You freaking missed Scott, dude. He had to go.
Oh man.
It was crazy though. It was crazy.
Yeah. I got way too into working on my website, and I like realized what time it was, and I'm like, oh my god, I never called. Shoot.
That's okay. Yeah, I told her to call, and I was like, Scott's calling, and you got to call. We'll have fun with them, you know. Yeah, we were real crazy. So we got to go ghost hunting with Scott. We're gonna go naked.
Ooh, I love that idea.
Are you going to go naked too? Will you get naked too?
I don't know about
you. Or do you
want to
be our film girl? Do you want to be our film girl?
I can be your film girl.
Okay. I'll get freaky for you.
Oh, I bet. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that one bit.
I don't either. In fact, I know I won't.
Matt, didn't you say you wanted to get on that too?
Actually, you know what? It's funny when I talked to Scott with Brittany and Scott on the show too. Dennis, and I'm going to use the term, and it's the honest to God truth. Dennis wouldn't sack up, but I'm actually down. I'm down for it. So I actually talked to Scott, and we were talking about dates like later in the year that would work for him and everything. And he's like, whenever. So we actually have it set, or had it set pretty, not in stone, but pretty well to where I was going to fly out to L.A. and we were going to go do a nude investigation. Just two dudes being
nude.
Why
don't we have a nude event?
Oh, man.
If you can find a mom that
really,
will host that.
Now we're really going into crazy places. You know what I mean? Now you're really upping it up a notch. You know?
Man, you could call it two new dudes and a ghost.
Come to our event.
Hey, to me, it's not a big deal. It's just two new dudes talking to the dark.
Well, we're in the dark and nobody would see us, you know, unless they had a camera and they were like watching it, you know.
You know, you set yourself up there. That could also be Brokeback Mountain. Two new dudes talking in the dark.
Yeah.
I think the problem is when one of you gets a fear boner.
Right? Yeah.
You know what? That's an interesting concept. I'm going to have to look into that. I've never been so scared that I got an erection. It's never happened.
It's actually that. I'm not going to lie. I stole that from a TV show, The League, and I'm totally obsessed with it. He's about to get mugged and he gets a boner because he's so scared.
here's my question, though. The camera at 10 pounds, is the camera at 10 inches, hopefully?
Let's hope so.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Crazy. See what Scott started? Like, Kevin, have we ever talked like this nasty on our show?
No.
We
just did it, you know?
It seems I missed the party.
You did. I mean, he was talking some pretty crazy stuff. We were talking about the porn industry. Scott was a porn star.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah. You know, and the fact that he admits it and he's proud of it, I respect him for that. Like,
I
he don't get it. You know, he's just like, yeah, I mean, he just blurted it out. You know, he doesn't care. It's like, I am what I am. I've done what I've done. And go ahead and go find it if you want to. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I mean, look at, like, super famous dude Channing Tatum. He openly admits that he was a stripper, and he's damn proud of it.
Yeah. Megan, I would be the worst stripper in the goddamn world. I suck on a pole, okay? I tried it once.
Me too. I did an amateur night, and it was a disaster.
Really?
A total
disaster.
I did, yeah.
Was it for money or something? Was it like a contest or what?
No, that would be drunk college me getting dared by my guy friends. They placed a bet on a round of shots that I would not do amateur and get on stage. So they went up and told the DJ that I wanted a job, and by the end of the night I got offered a job. I never went there again, ever.
That's awesome. So a drunk night at a strip club with your friends, that's awesome.
Yep. I think there were like maybe five people in the whole entire club. It was really nice.
Yeah, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to strippers in the fact of, okay, the shoes. And
oh yeah,
my ex who always wore heels. I was with her for 8 years. I don't think I ever saw her in anything but heels. A couple times
right.
Flat, but. We were up in the Wisconsin Dells, and we went to a strip club called Wisconsin Dolls. And they were having, it wasn't exactly an amateur night, but it was open if people wanted to do it. So she's like, and she had done a couple amateur nights throughout her life. Some of them more intoxicated than others. But she put on these heels, and they were like the platform stilettos and to where it would be like a 6-inch, but with the 6-inch rise in the front, it was like a 12-inch heel.
Right.
I see this girl stand up and assisted. She was not drunk, maybe a little buzz, but she wasn't drunk. She stood up when she went to take her first step. rolled her ankle and collapsed. Try it again. Rolled her ankle and collapsed.
Ow.
I have no, like, and then it started to put it in perspective of, like, all right, if this chick that I know who can walk in heels, like, no tomorrow and run at him and stuff like that in normal size heels gets on stage with these shoes, or not on stage, just on the floor with these shoes on, and can't even take, like, two or three steps.
Right.
And these girls are dancing like it's a dance battle and you got served. Like, that's hats off. I mean, seriously, hats off.
Yeah. When I did that, actually, it was so funny. Like, the other dancers just acted like I was their new best friend. They took me back to their little dressing room and, like, got a costume for me and put me in their shoes and put makeup on me and fluffed my hair up. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But, yeah, those shoes are effing hard to walk in.
See, I can wear those shoes. I don't, like, I love platform shoes, you know, with a cute dress or something like that. I don't have a problem walking in them. Where I have the problem is the actual pull, okay? The pull. The pull is really hard. Like, that is serious exercise right there. They're not messing around.
Yeah,
no.
For me, it's the shoes. The pole wasn't that hard. I mean, it rotates, so you can even just, like, fake it and swing around and do some stupid stuff and look halfway decent. It's the shoes. Like, I literally face planted off that stage when I was coming down.
See, I would want to do it where, like, they're doing that where they're, like, hanging upside down and, like, I'm like, I would want to own it. You know what I mean? If you're going to be a stripper, you got to own it. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if I go to a strip club, I'm always looking at, like, who's the best one pull, man? You know what I mean? Who's actually, like, you know, or are they just, like, dancing in front of it and then, like, dancing with the guys? Like, I'm more impressed with fucking owning that pole, you know? Own it. I want to see that. I want to see a workout, goddammit. I'll throw some money up there for that.
True story.
Yeah.
It was the outfits on me just weren't flattering. That was the big issue. I mean, I work.
You got a hairy butt?
No. That's fine because I do manscape.
Nice.
But
that's good.
As a whole, pardon the pun in that one if you have a real dirty mind. In total, like, everything, it was, you know, I didn't feel the top well. I was self-conscious about that. I could walk in the shoes fine. The pole, as it actually does rotate in the stage, as a lot of people don't know, come to find out, which is strange. It's like, do you really think these chicks are getting pole burn every time they're trying to flip around? No, the pole spins in the floor.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So,
well, I have a friend that got a stripper pole. And it's not set up yet, but for exercise purposes. But I totally, like, there's a place about 10 minutes from my house that has, like, classes for that. And I thought about, like, doing it for fun and exercise, you know, because I think that would be cool, you know, to, like, actually know. Because, you know, we were talking about, like, I got invited to go to the Bunny Ranch to investigate. And Megan, how cool would it be to go there and investigate? But they have, like, a stripper pole. And we could totally...
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine, like, us doing stuff on stripper pole night shot? That would be fun. Like, that would be cool. Like, just even if it's just clips, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, and doing, like, an EVP session and trying to get the ghost to come in there.
Well, and all joking aside, I've actually heard that the grotto has some interesting stuff that happens in there.
Where is that?
In the grotto at the. Oh no, you're talking Bunny Ranch. I was thinking Playboy Mansion.
Oh yeah, no. The Bunny Ranch.
No,
I got no reason to the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah, Playboy Mansion is actually haunted also, which is why I was getting my nudity mixed up. No, yeah, I've heard a couple things about the Bunny Ranch, but I've never heard, like, actually full reports of what's happened there, because it's not like I have ever...
Well,
I've
apparently, the guy Andy from Taxi, like the weird one, like the robotic kind of guy,
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, he apparently haunts the place. And HBO did a special on it there, as well as Scott Grimwald also filmed there for Paranormal Paparazzi. So he said room 2 is the most active, correct, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of reports of girls having stuff going on in room 2. But I just think, you know, what an interesting, like, place, especially for us being women and being paranormal investigators, that would be, like, a cool place for us to go, you know,
because
we might have a different approach than other male investigators going in there, you know, like Paranormal Paparazzi. We might get more evidence than them, or we might even get more, like, sexual things being said to us. You just don't know, you know?
Well, if Andy Kaufman is haunting there, then, yeah, I'm sure you probably would.
Right. I think we would probably pick up better evidence. We have an advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I would fully agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, Kevin?
Oh, I disagree.
Oh.
Yeah.
More like the start of a sentence instead of a, yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, so, okay, Kevin, got a question for you since you've been so quiet tonight. Are you just sitting there shaking your head? Like, what am I involved in this evening?
No, it has nothing to do with the radio show. I got other things going on.
Yeah, I know, and I want to give a honest, you know, actual heartfelt thing. I want to give a speedy and fast recovery to your mom. She's, you know, been in my thoughts and stuff ever since you posted what happened. So hope everything with that's going good now that she's back in the room and out of surgery and stuff. So. But
yeah,
your mom, big hug and a kiss, and say that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying she's at home and she can't really help take care of Dad with all his health issues. So I kind of have two parents down, and I'm kind of having to be the, you know, the caregiver for both and check on them. And then all this other BS dropped today and being attacked. In the paranormal field, and which I'm not going to get into, but I lost most of my team today. So, yeah, right before the radio show on top of that. So, yeah, not been a great day.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
definitely Megan and I understand, you know, stuff going on in between your groups, and there's nothing worse than, you know, you take it personally, so
yeah.
You'll get past this, though. Like, the universe is working its magic for you for something better, you know? I really believe that, Kevin. Shit happens for a reason. People
that
come
very
in
true.
And out of your life for a reason.
I think we can attest to that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that I know when it seems like the shit's crashing down on you and you know, which direction is up and all that kind of stuff. I mean, between all of us, you know, and Dennis included, even though he's not joined us, I mean, you got a hell of a support group, man, that love you and care about you. So
you
always
do.
Keep that in
yes,
mind.
You do. Definitely. Yep. And you know what? Wish them luck and just regroup your group. And, you know, Megan, like, honestly, like, maybe you could help Kevin with this because you were with CCPI before you came mm-hmm. to us, and mm-hmm. CCPI is a pretty large group compared
extremely
to, like, our
large.
Group.
Extremely,
compared to our
I mean,
group. So Kevin had a large group, and now it's down to five, and I was telling him, I think that's kind of a, like, it's almost like a blessing, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
less people
definitely.
To deal with. Do you like working with a larger team or a smaller team?
Definitely smaller. I hated working with a large group. With a large group, there's so many problems. First of all, when it comes to investigations, you have a lot more noise contamination, a lot more people running around, a lot more organization to do. You need a lot more equipment, you know, as opposed to a smaller team. Oh, and the other thing is with a bigger team, people create their own little cliques within the team. And then it's like you've always got, you know, these little cliques who are talking about each other and just it's bad. When you get a smaller group of people together, you know, you all work really well together. You don't have any extra contamination in your evidence when you're investigating. It's really easy to organize it, your equipment and, you know, keep your groups organized. It's really easy if you want to split off by yourselves and investigate and do solo sessions. I mean, there's just so many more benefits to having a smaller team.
Amen to Megan.
What do you think of that, Kevin? Like, you know, I know you're feeling poopy,
well,
but...
It don't work over here because of the fact that so many people have so many things going on in their lives with
mm-hmm.
a big group. I usually end up going to a location with a small group because process of elimination of people's availability, it narrows it down to five or six people that we normally run with. So when you only have five people, two or three of them can't go, then you really can't do anything, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that is a drawback.
What was I going to say? Shit.
If I can interject for a second,
please.
Kevin, there's been, you know, I run with a group of three. So, and that's the way I've been running forever. I mean, there's certain affiliates that I have that if I need somebody on call that are members of other groups, like David Weismer, for example, of Midnight Paranormal, phenomenal investigator, extremely, extremely thorough. But he has his own thing going. So if he needs somebody to fill in and he gives me enough notice, then I'll help him out and stuff like that. But when it comes down to an actual core group, and I didn't choose three because I watch Ghost Adventures, because that's just absolute bullshit. That's not the structure of how it was set up. The structure of how it was set up and even CPR East, which I, you know, I hats off to Dennis on the way that he runs the team. I mean, him and I think alike. It's like we're brothers from another mother.
Huh.
Just because you have a ton of people doesn't mean that there's any quality to them. And if they're not behind you and they're not going to back you and you know, stick up for you and be behind decision, it's like, well, okay, who was the one who started the fucking team? Who was the one, and, no, like, you have to be open to interpretation as a team leader or whatever, but at the same time, if there's anarchy and bullshit that's being created because of it and people are getting big heads or just that they're idiots, then... It's going to do nothing but hinder you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can all, like, I know exactly how he's feeling. I've been in his position. And, you know, a year ago when Kevin found me, I was, like, down in the dirt. I was like feeling like a piece of shit. And he freaking came in. He was my friend. He gave me the opportunity to come on his show with him. And, you know, shit happens for a reason and others will lift you up. Like Matt said, you have a family here and we're your family, all of us. And we support you, but I do know how you feel and I'm sorry. So
yeah.
I would just say, Kevin, take the high road, wish them luck, cause them no drama, and take the high road. You know what I mean? And if they want to go and create any drama for you, let them. Just let them. You know what I mean? Because the truth of the matter is they can't take this away from you.
Yeah. It's just...
And I think...
All this happens at once, you know. My main deal right now is worrying about my family and, you know, and then all this other hits. And I'm already in a state of, you know, trying to care for my family and then all this bullshit hits. So it's kind of like,
right. What
the fuck?
Well,
you know?
I mean, is it like drama, or did they just quit and they're leaving you alone now? Or are they, like, arguing?
No, it's not drama within the team. It's drama elsewhere causing the team to have to go elsewhere because they don't want to be a part of the drama that is happening from other people not in the group.
Trust me, been there, done that, and people like to take people down by just putting twisted words in people's ears and, you know, next thing you know, like a shit storm starts and you're like, holy shit, I'm freaking out of here, right?
Absolutely.
So just duck. Just duck down. Let it blow over. Let them go. And, you know, look at your team and who you have. Focus on that. Regroup. Shit. You've been through... Megan, like, came into our group and shit hit the fan. And all I could do was call her and say, Megan, I'm so sorry that this is going on and you just got in the group and this, like, looks really, really bad. And she was like, no problems, I'm sticking through it. And she did.
I'm good.
Yeah. And so, you're going to find out who your people are and... You know, to transition.
Yeah.
Very quickly. You'll find out very quickly who matters and who doesn't. And who will stick by your side and who won't.
We have somebody in the chat room, and they asked if you guys do any demonic cases. So let's start with Megan. Megan, have you ever been in a place where you feel that there's demonic activity?
Yes, nothing like super major. I know it was probably something a little bit smaller, a little, you know, not so much high on the hierarchy. And it was actually at the for our school in the boiler room. Jody, when you started coming there last summer for the Paracon, that's when it all started up.
Yeah, I created a demon in there.
Pretty much.
No.
Yes, I did. Dude, I got there and, like, we were doing ghost box sessions, and my ghost box kept talking about demons, evil, 666, devil worshiping, and they were like, oh, my God, like, it's never talked like this before, ever.
No.
And then after I left, it continued from what I heard, right?
It did, yeah. It totally continued. And, I mean, I personally did not, but my former teammate, one of them, did see, like, a hairless cat running around the hallways. Like, when I went down in that boiler room, all of our equipment started saying 66.6, like, the temperature of the EMF was, like, 6.66. Like, I felt like I was going to throw up, and I got a wicked headache, and I was like, I got to get out. Peace.
That place is weird, though. Ferrar is probably one of the most, like, It's on the confusion list. That's what I have it on. And it's because it's like, I just wonder, like, so many, like, what is causing, what's going on there? Because people are reporting over and over of their energy being drained and they just drop to the ground. And I've never been at a location where they've claimed that and actually witnessed three people doing it. So to actually witness three people, two people have to leave the room, which was, one was me, and then my son was filming two girls, and he almost fell over standing up with the camera. And it's like, what is causing that? People to just have their energy drained, and they're like just falling over, completely passing out.
It's a really weird place, for sure.
Like, if there's something going on with the land, could the land be causing that? Like, is it the land could be putting off too much electromagnetic field, and it's affecting some people, or you know what I'm saying? What exactly is causing that? Is it a spirit that's actually draining you and sucking your energy so that it can manifest and make something happen? It's like something's going around targeting people and doing that to them. It's a pattern there.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really weird. Top of that, you have like the whole rape situation that happened there. And then you have the cemetery across the street. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like there's just all kinds of doors opened in that place.
Yeah, that place is really amazing. And anybody listening, we're talking about for our school in Iowa, and that's kind of Megan's stomping ground.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's her place. Kevin, what about you? Demonic cases.
Several.
You work more so on residential issues of people who are dealing with that kind of stuff. So you're on a different,
Actually, both planes, because 1, 2, 3, 4 different locations I've been to have demonic entities in them. And the sad part is the owner of the facility doesn't think it's demonic. But when it's giving you all the signs by what it's doing and how it's behaving, just like when you deal with a residential. Now, yeah, could be something mimicking. It could be something mimicking a demonic to try to scare you, which could be the possibility. But there's definitely some locations that have these things in them because of the fact of all the paranormal teams that have investigated. And, these building owners don't realize what some of these teams could have done to open that door. And, because when you're talking about paranormal teams, you're talking about new teams that don't really have a lot of knowledge. You're talking about seasoned investigators as well. But, if you got people that are kind of not real smart about how they conduct themselves and what they do and what they ask for, they can bring things into a building that...
For some reason it cut out.
On a second. My phone's dying. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, here, maybe it'll stay on. I got it plugged in. I don't know why it's doing that. But, some of these places,
it's like that, you know, and it's not something to toy around with. It really is not. Residential-wise, okay. It's the same thing.
So,
what?
Kevin, in the chat room, somebody's asking questions, and they're asking, like, how is it when you, like, if you're dealing with a residential case, okay, there's two different things. Like, if we're going to a location where we're renting it out and we're going to see if there really is demonic activity, our job is to go in there and collect evidence to back up the location that, yes, in fact, this is going on here. If it's a client and you're going in and you determine, yes, there is something demonic, there's something mean here that's, you know, hurting the animals, or it's hurting a child, or targeting a teen, or somebody in the family. You know, how this guy wants to know, how are you getting rid of it when you're trying to help them?
Well, the problem, the first problem is you can't go in and just try to remove it. Because of the fact
once you determine that there is in fact something bad there, so your next step would be you would come back with more.
Well, it's a process, because the first thing you have to do before you even worry about what is there is you have to fix the family that's involved. Because if you don't fix the family, if you don't fix the fear factor, if you don't fix what they're doing to stir up anger and fear in the house, because a lot of times the families that are involved have a lot of issues amongst the family members, whether they're going through a divorce.
Or they were playing with a Ouija board. Or, like, kids were playing with Ouija boards or EVPs, and they were doing it in their house, and they kind of brought it in.
Well,
they opened a portal. That happens.
Or, but when you start digging, in your interview process, you find out that the families more times than another. I have not gone to a case where the family was, you know, the 1950s perfect family that you see portrayed, you know, like Leave It to Beaver or something like that. But these families have a lot of anger. There's problems within the family, whether it's between their children or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of violence. And a lot of times these things, that's what they prey on, and they take this broken family and they fuel and manipulate people and get these arguments and get these things going even more, because then they become more powerful. So the first thing you have to do, you have to fix the family. That's the most important. Then, because if you don't fix the family, you can bring in a priest, you can bring in whoever you want. You can bring in the Pope if you want. You can get out of there, but it'll be right back in. And the whole thing is you don't want this thing to have any way of getting back. Then the second thing you got to do, you got to find the source. There's always a source. These things, I don't care at this point because in the mood I'm in, spiritually, God has set rules for these things. They're pissed because man is the only, not even angels have this, man is the only one that has free will. Demons, angels, they do not. They operate according to what they are told by the hierarchy of where they're at. So these things don't just show up and knock on your door and say, hey, I'm going to make your life a living hell. They don't do it that way. You have to invite them in one way or another. And I'm not saying you have to invite them directly. There's a lot of indirect ways of doing it, and these things are sneaky. They've been around before man even walked the earth. They know how to bend the rules and get around things. If they can coax you or put a thought in your mind, hey, I want to talk to my dead grandmother on the Ouija board. I have no idea what I'm doing. They're doing that so that you open that door, so they go, oh, thanks for the invite, dude. Now I'm in. Now shit hits the fan. So that's part of what we have learned in talking to different people across the United States. And you know, that's why, Jody, when people come on here that deal with these cases, I ask them what they do.
And 9 times out of 10, what they're doing or what they're finding is the same thing I'm finding. So I know that at least us and the other people that are dealing with these things, we're all on the same page, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
these things have a stink. They have a pattern to them. I can pretty much tell you when somebody calls me on the phone and they tell me their claims, in the first 10 minutes I can tell you pretty much whether or not it could possibly, and I'm saying possibly, not that it is, because we put too much emphasis on it in the field, but possibly with the amount of claims and what is actually these things are doing, whether or not it could possibly be something really bad, you know, because
right.
I have come across spirits that scratch investigators, and then they're like, oh, God, I got scratched, and it's 3 scratches. It's a demonic. No, spirits will do that, too. They do that to try to scare your ass to leave them alone.
Yeah.
And I've found that, you know. Malicious human spirits can scratch you as well and imitate the
yeah.
worst of the worst just so that you go, oh, shit, there's a demon here. I'm out of here. And they'll do that.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? You know, we have somebody in the chat room, and they were saying that they see spirits and also dark things. And I said, don't fear that. You know, when you have an experience and you are gifted and you see things, you know, you shouldn't fear it. You should ask it what it wants, because it may need help or it may have a message for you, and it may... You know, and that message may connect a dot for you, or they're just kind of lost, or they're just showing you, hey, I'm here. You know, you shouldn't, like, fear it. But if it like, is dark and you feel like I don't like this and I don't want it here, then I would suggest when it happens, immediately react and tell it to go away. And, you know, get out of your home. It is not welcome there, and be very forceful. And in doing so, you know, you're not welcome here at all. Like, be forceful. And, you know, if you have a problem after that, you know, you should contact a local group or a priest and go talk to somebody about it that could help you. He's taking off now. See you later. Have a great weekend or a great week. Megan,
yes.
wanted to hear your story because I haven't talked to you in a while about it, but you had where I guess it was your brother's teenage friends or something like that were like all going through some crazy stuff, and you were telling me about it a couple months ago, but I haven't heard any like updates about that.
You know, I haven't heard any updates either. I don't remember the full length of it. I remember bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I mean, this kid is just my little brother's age, so he's probably 19 or 20. And I think it started out with his older brother is where it all began. And his older brother would go into these, like, rages, like, fit rages where, like, he would just have these spells of rage where he would just lose his mind. And, you know, finally he moved out of the house and, like, he would see these shadow figures and stuff. Finally moved out of the house. Things stopped for a while, and then it started back up. Well, then the activity started going to their mom, and their mom started seeing all kinds of weird shit. Like, there was one time that she saw, like, this baby running around with a man's head.
Babies?
Yeah, like it was like a baby size, like a one-year-old size, but it had like a whole man's head. And the kids said that the way their house was laid out on the bottom floor, like their living room looped around the kitchen, so like there were no walls blocking it. It was like a continuous loop. And she said this thing started running in this loop around between their kitchen and living room. And she like grabbed her Bible and started to pray, and it ran faster and faster until it was just a blur. And then, like, she said one last prayer, and it just disappeared. And then, like, now the activity has moved from the mom to this kid, and he basically goes in and out of possession all the time. he said, like, he's been at parties and, like, obviously they're drinking, but, you know, not to the point where he would black out and just completely lose it. He's disappeared at parties for, like, hours, and people find him crying in the bathroom and punching walls, and he has no idea what's going on. And then he snaps out of it, and he's like, what the fuck just happened?
Wow.
And, yeah.
You haven't heard anything from you in a while?
No, no. And actually, I mean, he was just telling me about it one night when I was visiting my brother, and, you know, he had a bunch of friends over. So, I mean, I don't actually regularly talk to the kid. I don't know him. I just met him. But he
said
that I was a paranormal investigator.
If things were really, really crazy, he probably would have contacted you. So maybe it's like calm down or something.
I don't know. And then, you know, a lot of his, like, he is totally convinced that it's confined to, that it's always, like, in his closet. And he said, like, there was this other kid there that was, they were all friends with that said he never believed in it. And he said he was staying the night there, sleeping in a sleeping bag on the floor. And, like, he fell asleep laying on his back. And this closet door, like, it has this lock on it. So they locked it shut because it would always open by itself. Well, he wakes up, and he's sitting there facing the closet, and the door is wide open and the light's on. So he closes it back shut, goes back to bed. They wake up, same thing, it's open again with the light on.
Wow.
I think there's still activity going on, and I bet that it's just kind of toying with them, but I don't think it's as bad as it used to be.
That's good. Yeah, you know, I've tried a million times to get rid of the ghosts in my house. It's like you think, like, it'll be quiet for, like, 6 months, and then, like, crazy stuff is happening for, like, months. And I'll, like, cleanse it, like, for 14 years now. I've been dealing with it, acting up here and there.
I've lived in haunted houses, like, as a kid and stuff, but I've never lived with anything that was mean. Like, it always coexisted. It would, like, casually let us know that it was there, but it was never mean to us, and it never scared us.
Yeah. I got a reading one night from a psychic on the show. And so Nathan first started off seeing, like, a little girl in the house. And he said she was creepy. This is at 3 years old. He was describing her dress and he, you know, like, what it looked like. And we had a psychic on one night. And I told her I lived in a haunted house. And so she just started tuning in, and she tuned in on the little girl in the white dress, and she's like, this little girl's creepy, and she has, like, a weird walk. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit because he's seen that little girl, you know, a couple times. So it's kind of weird.
That is really weird. Very weird.
Yeah, and we've had things growling. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's never done anything bad, like, push anybody, but it scares my daughter. She don't like going in her room because there's a man in there, and the man laughs.
That's weird. My cousin's, my aunt actually lives in an old house that's right across the street from the old mortuary, and it's a house now, but it used to be a mortuary, and she has three girls. The first one is 6, the second one is 3, and the third one is a newborn. So the first one, Jessica, when she was born, when she was like 2 or 3, she would cry to her mom that she can't sleep at night because of the man in her closet who plays a blue horn. And then then she grew up and, you know, quit seeing him. And then the next one was born, Danica, and she would stay, she had that same bedroom, they put her in that bedroom, and she would like stand up in her crib and stare at the closet and like babble to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then she grew up and moved out of that room. And then the newborn now, my aunt says that she'll come in and she's like rolled over on her side, like looking at the closet. And like their hallway lights will turn on all the time by themselves and off by themselves and TV on and off by itself. So nothing ever harmful, but I think it's kind of strange how like all three girls are seeing something.
Yeah. Huh. Has she ever let anybody into her house?
like to investigate it?
Yeah.
No, she is just, my aunt is absolutely terrified of this stuff. And so she worries that if someone investigates it, it'll like stir up a little bit more.
Yeah.
So which is pretty true, and I don't blame her for that, but yeah.
All right, well, we are almost 10 minutes past, and I think Kevin probably wants to go deal with his baloney. So, Megan, thank you for coming on, and again.
Yeah, I always have fun with you guys.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Would you like to plug anything real quick? Your website, you're building it right now. When is it up?
The website is in progress. Hopefully I will launch it sometime in the next week or two. I would like to get it going because I have some pretty cool stuff. I've actually designed 3 shirts tonight, and they're wicked awesome. So stay tuned to my Facebook page for that. It's facebook.com/MeganCampbellOfficial.
Awesome. And Matt?
Yes, I'm still here.
Thank you for coming on the show. Would you like to plug anything?
Well, tomorrow, Full Spectrum with Spirit Medium Ursula Kalen, the sweet, sweet, phenomenal woman. And she was listening to the show tonight.
Nice.
And she did have some points that she wanted to address, but obviously ran out of time and all that stuff. But there were a couple points that I agree with her on that I did want to address too, but I know we're in our kind of an
amount. Go for it. Because everybody has a different style and, you know, everybody has a voice. So, you know, if you can just sum it up.
Yeah, I'll do a quick summary. Mm-hmm. As far as what you were talking about dealing with demonic stuff. Anytime... any homeowner who watches and this is what I've encountered, who watches Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, whatever show it may be.
It's a demon. Everything's a demon, right?
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. It always comes back as that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of in-depth research and study that we go through as far as asking questions of different medications and I mean, Samantha,
yeah,
who's on the team, she's a pharmacologist, so...
Yeah, you got to get into that person's head, and you got to make sure it's not the person. But what if it is the person and the location? Like, you're actually picking up stuff happening, but you also know that this person is, like, unstable. So it's like, you got to... I understand what you're saying. There's so much more to it. Breaking it down, like Kevin was saying, you know, you got to break it down.
Yeah, the ones I was addressing was the ones that actually, you know, we went through the process. We were running out of time, so I didn't want to go through the whole spiel. But
yeah.
You're totally right. You know, there is a process to it all, and some of the times they say all these crazy things that are happening, and you go in there and that's not the case.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with that. There's so much more in depth that I've actually been able to figure out to disprove any activity going on and lack of evidence, which and that's another thing. If somebody goes in and this is a point I'll touch on tomorrow. I'm not going to get into it too much tonight, but since we want to end the show, basically, if somebody is having activity, they're having what's going on, when you analyze that person, there's a lot of times that you go into a location and if you have the mentality of, well, this person's just full of shit, like they're, you know, there's nothing going on, it has a problem with the person.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that that's not the case at all. But when you put up that front, you put up that guard, and you have that guard up, it's like walking into a bar like your shit doesn't stink, and you're going to walk in like a hard ass, who the fuck's going to want to talk to you, especially if you know that they can't see you? You can just sit and chill in the corner and watch them make an ass of themselves.
Yep.
So you have to analyze it, but at the same time, still be open and be receptive to the information that you're getting back from the environment.
Yeah.
I will raise my hand and I will go on record and I will raise my hand and say, you know what, I've talked to this person. I know what their issue is. The issue is them. The issue is in the location. And I was completely, completely fucking wrong. But I went in there and my personal energy, if you want to call it that, my personal energy that I was giving off was, you know, this person's full of shit and I'm just trying to, you know, figure it out for them, make them happy, see there's nothing going on. And then a week later, I get a phone call saying that, well, you know, you guys were here and it's gotten worse. Not that we were provoking or doing anything else. It's just when you go in with that closed-minded mentality, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to what the hell is there.
Yeah.
So, due to trial and error, I will raise my hand and I will say, you know what? I fucked up in my own personal mentality when I walked into a place. So, that definitely has changed.
Yeah. All right, well, cool. I'm ready to wrap it up. Let Kevin go to take care of his business. And
next week on the show, it'll be the anniversary spectacular with all of us on the show.
It's going to be a freaking crazy-ass night.
And I'll say one more thing. Congrats to Paranormal Access Radio. I don't know what they're doing. I've listened to the show. But I will say this. They got a fan base because the last 2 weeks, they have just been killing it in the archives.
Nice.
This last Friday, they had 378 listens in the archives. We were second, Jody, with 221, but they just killed it.
Nice. All right, well, I'm picking the song, and I'm picking it for Scott tonight, okay?
Oh,
okie
no.
Okie
dokie. All right, here we go.
Got you on the brain. Your sound drives me insane.
sound of